I did hear you. Yay. Good. Sorry, Lynn, that you're having issues there where you are. Welcome, everyone, to our Sunday morning gathering. And I see Carrie's writing the sound here is not working properly, and I saw a couple people say that they had to mute and then unmute this morning in order to get sound. So hopefully that will help. Huh. And Barb says she has no sound. So okay. So hopefully we can get that all together this morning. But again, welcome to our Sunday morning gathering. I didn't know about the music this morning, so I think that I'm prepared to play music, although I feel like kind of like a jack of all trades this morning, because normally Lynn does that for me. And so that feels like one extra add-on. It's probably a good thing. Barb's saying still no sound. Okay, so I don't know. Let's see. Barb, try muting, then unmuting. Okay. So I am going to play our opening song, if I can find it here on my desktop. And while we do that, what we like to do is lean over the virtual pew and say good morning to one another, much as you would in your brick and mortar church. So let me play our opening song so we can say hey to each other. All right, let's see if we can get this thing going.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Welcome to Awakening Together's Sunday morning service. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And core value number 3, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Thank you, Barb, for posting those. Okay. Let's look at our announcements this morning. Okay, first of all, I want to invite everyone to join us for our spirit-led movie discussion group tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary Home. This month's movie is 45 Years. The movie's available on most provider sites, including Amazon Prime, YouTube, Google Play, etc. What we recommend you do is that you watch the movie with spirit and then come and share your insights with the group. It's recommended that you join with spirit in meditation or prayer prior to viewing the movie and then journal after. You may want to watch for common themes, for characters you like or don't like, for situations that seem to cause discomfort or joy. Contemplate what your reactions to the movie tell you about your beliefs about yourself and the world you live in. Bring that back to the group to share and also to learn from others' movie-watching experience. So again, that's the movie is 45 Years, and that's at 8 o'clock tonight. Okay. Nirmala's mini-series starts tonight. We're really excited about that. I imagine most of you are familiar with Nirmala. Nirmala is Gina Lake's husband. Certainly that's not his only claim to fame, but many of you are familiar with Gina Lake because of her, the special mini-series she did with us. Nirmala's mini-series, first of all, Nirmala is recommended as a teacher by Adi Ashanti, Eli Ruzdar, and StillnessSpeaks.com. His mini-series will last 4 weeks. Again, it starts tonight at 9 p.m. The title of the mini-series is The Awakeness That Is Always Already Here. In description, awakening is simply a sudden expansion or increase in awareness. When this expansion is especially large, profound, and transformative, we call that a spiritual awakening. While there is nothing we can do directly to cause a pronounced awakening, all spiritual practices and teachings are designed to make us more available for when grace touches us and opens our awareness profoundly. A very direct way to be more available for a sudden expansion or awakening is to become intensely curious about the awareness or awakeness that is always already here. Just as a single drop of water is still liquid, transparent, and wet, the awakeness that is present in this and every moment has all of the fundamental qualities of our true nature. Awakeness is always spacious, alive, discriminating, loving, and aware. In this mini-series, we will explore these fundamental qualities of awakeness and discover how they operate in our lives before, during, and after any spiritual awakening we may experience. By paying attention to the mysterious and miraculous awakeness that is always here, we can start to notice the many openings and expansions of awareness that occur in our daily experience. Then, if a large opening happens, we will be available and present for it. As one of Nirmala's teachers put it, you never know when Grace will come for a visit, but it's a good idea to be home when she does. That's great. Okay. So be sure and join us tonight, again tonight at 9 p.m. for Nirmala's mini-series, The Awakeness That Is Always Already Here. Okay, and then final announcement here, the fall retreat, it's right around the corner. It's 4 weeks away. Final room and meal counts are due to the retreat center in 2 weeks, which means there are 2 weeks left to register. Remember, you get a discount for registering for all three retreats, and we are really looking forward to the retreat. It's very exciting. As I'm sure you're aware by now, our retreat leaders this year are Regina Don Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. You can plan on flying into the Denver or the Colorado Springs airport. There are shuttle options available to get you to the retreat center from either airport. And if you've already registered, I will be sending out very shortly the hopefully today, the information about the shuttles from the airport. So if you haven't joined, if you haven't signed up, please sign up. It's going to be a great retreat, and it is our opportunity, our once-a-year opportunity for all of us to get together in person and experience that joining that we just can't quite do over the airwaves here, and it's just a lot of fun to get together with folks and put faces to the voices that we join with in this room. So we look forward to seeing you there. Okay. Pardon me. all right, let me see if I can pull up our next... Yeah, Lisa. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you there too, Lisa. Okay, so at this point we will have a song so that we can kind of get settled in here and get ready for our service. Actually, I think the song I have is very upbeat, but that's going to be fine. So let me get that playing.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright. Shiny day, gonna be bright.
And now it's time for our invocation. And I just want to once again express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn, to reflect on my experience in order that I may share it with others. And I pray that I convey the message in a way that I and others might hear it, in a way that helps us to apply it in our own lives so that we might live in peace and in joy. And finally, I would ask that I remember that I am only the messenger and that I'm able to get out of the way so that the miracle of joining can happen. Amen. Okay, guys. At this point, we'll have our member reading this morning. Rebecca Gibson is going to be reading NTI 1 Peter chapter 2. So I will give up the mic so that Rebecca can do that.
Good morning. I'll do the obligatory mic check. Can people hear me? Thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline, for asking. Our reading today is NTI 1 Peter chapter 2. It will be the entire chapter. In truth, you can rid yourself of nothing, for there is nothing to be rid of. You are pure and perfect, and in communication now. Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. If something seems to have gone wrong or seems to be less than perfect, you are seeing through a veil of misperception. It is only this veil that must be lifted so you can see that it is all perfect and it has always been. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of you for something that is better than you in which to love. Seek only within. For when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this belief, you cannot find love. For what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Your perception is changing, and your as you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world. I still have sound. Thank you. I'll repeat that. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world because the world is a reflection of your thoughts and feelings about you. Look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to yourself. and that is a capital S self. If you resent this one's authority, you have a resentment against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you are not yet accepting the truth of you. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with the desire only that misperceptions be healed. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you ask it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions, so this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is a symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go. Rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now, as it stands for you to see. What you see is what you see, because it's a reflection of what is in your mind. What you see is not fact, in that it cannot be changed or cannot be seen differently. What you see is only fact, in that it is a fact that it is a reflection of what is in your mind now. Accept that fact. Look at the reflection and see what you did not see before. All that you see is in your mind, and you are the power that can change it. Is what you see that which you know to be your truth? If it is not, it is a misperception, and it will fade away through your willingness to release it to do so. Blessings. Thank you. I release the mic.
Thank you, Rebecca. Lovely reading. Thank you. Okay. Well, I sit here before you with having done quite a bit of contemplation of these ideas. I'm not quite sure where we're going to go this morning, but I guess we'll find out. You know, these my experience lately is that these topics are not chosen by me. when I see them, they're obvious that this will be, you know, my topic for the month. As you know, I come here once a month and do this Sunday gathering. And it seems like the first couple of weeks after I teach on a Sunday morning, I'm thinking about the next service. I have no idea, no idea what it's going to be. And then it makes itself obvious to me. So it seems fitting to talk about how I came to this morning's topic. And I think the first thing that really came to me was when I was watching Michael Singer on YouTube, because I am reading the Surrender Experiment. Michael Singer wrote The Untethered Soul, and his second book was The Surrender Experiment. And we'll come back to that a little bit more later on, I think, in today's talk. But Michael Singer, I heard Michael Singer say what Dharma was. And he said Dharma was accepting all things exactly as they are at the point in time that you find them. And in addition, it's determining how you can be of service within that set of circumstances. I think that that's probably, I said that fairly poorly. So let me just read to you then this little quote from the surrender experiment that I came across yesterday or the day before, and I knew that this was the perfect quote. He defines surrender. He says, surrender, what an amazingly powerful word. It often engenders the thought of weakness and cowardice. In my case, it required all the strength I had to be brave enough to follow the invisible into the unknown. And that is exactly what I was doing. It's not that surrender gave me clarity about where I was going. I had no idea where it would lead me. But surrender did give me clarity in one essential area. My personal preferences of like and dislike were not going to guide my life. By surrendering the hold these powerful forces had on me, I was allowing my life to be guided by a much more powerful force, life itself. By that stage of my growth, I could see that the practice of surrender was actually done in two very distinct steps. First, you let go of the personal reactions of like and dislike that form inside your mind and heart. And second, with the resultant sense of clarity, you simply look to see what is being asked of you by the situation unfolding in front of you. What would you be doing if you weren't being influenced by the reactions of like or dislike? Following that deeper guidance will take your life in a very different direction from where your preferences would have led you. He goes on to say that that's the basis of his surrender experiment. That is the clearest I can explain my surrender experiment, and it became the foundation of both my spiritual and worldly life. But that's it, right? So if we're accepting the present moment without my personal likes and dislikes getting in the way, right? That is acceptance. That's complete acceptance of what the moment's giving you. And then you look at that moment and ask, what is being asked of me by this situation unfolding in front of me right now? And that's Dharma. All right. Pardon me. Yeah, and Barb has written, surrendering my likes and dislikes to be available for love's will. Yeah. Regina. All right. Regina says she got the opportunity to surrender when somebody said, I want your book, and took her book, so she didn't get to finish reading it. All right, so let's look at what Rebecca read to us. Okay, the same idea is right here at the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. And if something seems to have gone wrong, or it seems to be less than perfect, it's because you're seeing through a veil of misperception. So where does the veil of misperception come from? The veil of misperception is composed of my likes and dislikes, my preferences, the way I think things ought to be, my expectations of the way that life should unfold, or that's part of it, right? My expectations of the way I think things should be. The other part is the beliefs that are driving me that I'm not even aware of unless I'm looking. The things that I believe about myself, and the example given here is the belief that I'm unlovable. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. So, you know, as we've heard before, it's an inside job. So you look within. And see without. It seems to be that what you see in the world causes your beliefs, but in fact, it's the other way around. what I believe within, I see pictured in my outside world. And I have a couple of things that I want to share with you from somebody you might know, Regina Dawn Akers. she's often talked about this perceptual loop and this same idea. So I just want to share a couple of things she wrote in her Seven Steps journal, number 289. What is the world? Mind-made illusion. What does that mean? It's simple. Mind decides an idea is valuable or meaningful, and through this decision, that idea becomes manifest in some way. When it is manifest, it is experienced. If mind decides the experience has importance or meaning, it seems real. Once an idea is experienced as real, it is like a mesmerizing spell that mind ignorantly believes, and the spell continues as real. To wake up from this cycle, one must choose to step outside of the spell continuance process. One may step out at the level of mental idea, or one may step out at the level of manifest experience. Either way, the step out process is the same. One must see that the idea or experience is not meaningful. One must not give it value or importance. One must return to the constant spiritual practice of self-inquiry and self-watching. And Regina's teaching on that was really powerful. So I recommend that you listen to her teaching on her Seven Steps teaching, number 289. And let me read one more thing. And that is something we've heard Regina teach a number of times. And she says, one of the most helpful messages that Holy Spirit has given me is this thought. What you think you see, what you see you experience, what you experience you think. This is why reversal is needed. Be willing to think apart from what you experience, and you think apart from fear. You think apart from guilt. You think apart from division. In this way, you think in alignment with truth. And that which is not truth can be undone. So the biggest point here is that it's not the world. It's not you looking out on the world and then basing your beliefs on what you see in the world. It only works that way if you understand that the belief, the thought, came first. The mind is cause. The world is not cause. And of course, you know, anybody that's familiar with the Course in Miracles sees this taught there again and again and again. The mind is cause. So, and A Course in Miracles says that a miracle is a shift in perception. So, you can see that that perception is step two in that process. What you see, you experience. So, what you think you see, what you see, you experience, and what you experience, you think. So, the shift in perception is not caused by a shift in what you see in the world. The shift in perception is the willingness, is caused by the willingness to change what you think. Because what you think, you see. What you see, you experience. What you experience, you think. All right. Let's look back at 2 Peter. Yeah, a closed loop, Kathy says. Okay, and that paragraph Rebecca kind of cut out on, I think it's important to look at that again. There was one sentence I don't think we heard. That paragraph says, and this is NTF 1 Peter chapter 2, your perception is changing, and your experience of how you perceive the world is changing also, because you have become willing to experience yourself differently. See, that's what we're just saying. This is where, this willingness is where you have the opportunity to step out of this perceptual loop. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world. So, let's talk a little bit more about how I came to this talk today. What the recurring theme for me, what I kept seeing was every time, what I had the grace to see, was every time I thought I knew something, I was wrong. Every time I thought I knew what caused this or that, I was wrong. And what I came to see was I was wrong. I was wrong because I was putting my perception on the events to make them seem that way. So let me give you an example. The other day, Tom and I were on coming back from a trip. And we were stopped at a gas station, and we were pulled over kind of in front of the front door, and between the front door and the gas pumps. And this guy pulled in, presumably to get gas, and he was honking, honk, honk, honk. And I'm like, what the heck? What is his problem? Tom's like, I don't know what his problem is. I'm like, you know, to heck with this guy. He's got plenty of room. He can get in there and get gas. What the hell's wrong with him? You know, I mean, I was like, what is wrong with people these days, right? How rude. Well, so I go into the gas station and go to the restroom or whatever, right? And when I come out, that guy was just pulling away. And Tom had gotten out of the truck. He was cleaning the windshields, whatever. And I'm like, okay, what was that guy's problem? Tom said he was the sweetest man. He said the guy had been honking because he thought Tom was also going to get out of the truck at that time. And he wanted Tom to know that that he could go ahead and get out, that the guy wasn't going to run him over, that he had plenty of room to get out of the truck. So, you know, that's just one very small example. You know, what was he was being courteous, he was being loving, he was being considerate. So it just gave me, and what did I think? I thought he was being rude, right, impatient. Those are the things that I see in me. Those are the beliefs that I hold. Now, I don't know if they're beliefs that I hold specifically about myself. I think this passage would tell me that they are. I think those are the beliefs that I expect to see out there in the world. I expect to see rudeness. I expect to see confused people, people that don't give a damn about each other. And so that's what I seem to get. But this grace, this teaching is just so beautiful to have. You know, Holy Spirit just lays it out so perfectly to give me the opportunity to see, no, that was all me. That was all my crap. Because this guy was being what I think that I can't find proof of in the world. This guy was being loving, courteous, gracious. You know, he was putting our needs before his. He could wait and get his gas, right, after he made way for Tom. So I'm blessed. And I'm blessed by my willingness to see. It says down here in verses 18 to 21, remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it be brought to you. So when that thing you do not like stands before you and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions. So this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go. And I have asked that my misperceptions be corrected. So so it's with a giggle that I see this in hindsight. It's really funny. I mean, it's funny. That God, daggone him, how dare he? I mean, it's just really funny to look back and see, no. It was you all the time. And it's loving, and it's grace. And I'm honored to participate in this process, in the process of my own awakening. Now, there's another important part that appears right here in verse 22 that follows that quote that I just read you, and it says, rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now as it stands for you to see. See, if I had gone, oh my God, I'm really awful. Here I am. I think I'm a teacher of God. I think I know something, and, you know, this little country fella's showing me I don't know anything. I really suck, right? I mean, that's not helpful. It's helpful to know this is one who stepped forward in gratitude to help me see my misperceptions. This is the answer to my prayers. This is nothing to feel guilty about. You know, guilt goes in the wrong direction. It's just not helpful. NTI 1 Peter chapter 5 says, you are the leader of your own awakening. Lead yourself not by guilt, but by willingness. Guilt is the witness to your misperception. By following the feeling of guilt, you stay within the web of misperception. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, you are led from the confusion of misperception into the clarity of light. And then a little bit further down in that chapter, it says, be kind and gentle with yourself, forgiving your misperceptions as they seem to come upon you. So you have to do this in the spirit of willingness. I remember somebody telling me once, Jason Warwick told me years ago, that it's fun. It's like being a detective, right? To see these misperceptions, you can be like, aha, there's another one. There's another one that I'm willingly see and I'm willing to let go. You know, we're not perfect. We're not perfect yet. Of course, we're perfect fundamentally. Of course, we're perfect at an absolute reality level. but we haven't yet remembered our perfection. So there's no shame in uncovering a misperception that creates the veil that keeps us from recognizing our perfection. I mean, that's the way home. So ask that your misperceptions be revealed to you and then be grateful when you see them. That's the way home. So the name of the talk is today, Perception, Misperception, and Mindfulness. So where's the mindfulness comes in? The mindfulness is this very process. The mindfulness is watching, right? Be aware. It's that constant attention that Regina was talking about in her writings. Be aware. Be aware of what the situation is presenting you. be aware of how that situation is shaped by your beliefs. You know, and a great place to start with that is this idea of surrender that Michael Singer's talking about. Are you ready to surrender to the moment? How can you tell? Well, am I trying to change things based on my likes and dislikes? Based on my preferences, do I think things should be different? What is keeping me from surrendering to this moment right now? It may be an obvious like or dislike, or it may be something a little bit deeper than that. But if I'm not totally willing just to be along for the ride, there's something that comes from me that is keeping me from surrendering to this moment right now. What is it? What is my misperception? And how do I know it's a misperception? Because it's coming from the thinking mind. If it's coming from the thinking mind, it's a misperception. Frankly, I read that somewhere and I can't remember which one of these quotes that was. Oh, no, I don't remember. We know it's a misperception. We know it's coming from the thinking mind if we have a resistance to what is. Why is that? Because everything is perfect exactly as it is right now. It doesn't need to be changed by me. It doesn't need to be manipulated by me. It doesn't need anything from me at all except my service to this moment. How can I be of service to the entire world, right? To my brothers, to myself. How can I be of service in these circumstances? That's the only question I need to ask of any circumstance. Not how can I change it to fit my liking. How can I make it better? How can I be of service in these circumstances? So the mindfulness would help us recognize where it is that we are not completely surrendered. Helps us to remember to watch and to quit acting from our habits, our habit energies. You know, to give up the knee-jerk reaction. That guy in that, can you believe he's honking at us? He's got a lot of nerve. Oh, that's a habit. Let me give that up. You know, I went, we're looking for new phone service. We got Walmart plan. I'm not real happy with it. Not very good service. So we went into the Verizon store the other day and I didn't want to be there. And I was grumbling at the poor woman who had to wait on us. And I'm, you know, barking at her. And then of course, I feel bad by the end of the conversation. And then I'm like touching her on the arm going, oh, you're so nice or what? I mean, whatever it is, right? Trying to make up from the way I came in through the door barking at her. I talked to Regina about it later, and she's like, you know, that's because you have expectations about what's, you know, the way things ought to be. And I'm like, no, I don't. It's because I think they're going to try and cheat me out of my money, and it's not going to happen on my watch. And she's like, that's that's what I just said. And she's right. The expectation I have is that I think that people are trying to, you know, that vendors, people who sell things are going to try and cheat me out of my money. That's a belief that I have. I believe that I have to protect myself against that. So I come in like a bull, right? Oh, you're not going to take my money. There's no need. I mean, you know, this is life. This is the circumstance of life. There's no reason to treat people that way. So as I recognize it, with whatever help that I get, right? Whether I recognize it in the moment or whether I recognize it an hour later when I talk to Regina. It's grace. It's grace that allows me to see that I'm operating from my habit energies, from my beliefs about the world, and my relation to it. So, I'm teaching the introduction to Buddhist teachings module of the MPP program, and we're reading The Heart of Buddhist Teaching by Thich Nhat Hanh, and in that book, Thich Nhat Hanh defines mindfulness. He said, mindfulness is the energy that it can embrace and transform all mental formations. Mindfulness helps us leave behind upside down perceptions and wakes us up to what is happening. So mindfulness takes us out of our expectations, our likes and our dislikes, and allows us to be in the moment. With that moment, right? Not to be in the moment, but really be in the past. You know, based on what I think I know about the world from the past. Not to be in that moment and yet really be in the future. Man, I gotta do this stuff. I gotta protect myself from these kind of people, right? Mindfulness lets me really be in the moment. With that person, with those circumstances, as they're unfolding in the moment. And then I want to read you something else from that same book, The Heart of the Buddha's Teaching, that was very impactful for me. And I think this is the spirit, I know it's the spirit, that I would like to approach everything from. It's on a chapter called Right Speech. And right speech is part of mindfulness. Thich Nhat Hanh writes, aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I am committed to cultivating loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and relieve others of their suffering. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I am determined to speak truthfully with words that inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope. I will not spread news that I do not know to be certain, and I will not criticize or condemn things of which I am not sure. I will refrain from uttering words that can cause division or discord, or that can cause the family or the community to break. I am determined to make all efforts to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. How about that? I am determined to make all efforts to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. Well, that's certainly a different approach to things, right? I mean, that's where I can be with mindfulness. I mean, this is what we've talked about before. What's the goal and what's my goal in this situation? Is it to protect the personal self? Is it to make sure that they don't rob me of my money? That guy doesn't abuse my authority and my right to be in the same place that he is? No. I don't need to protect myself. That's the misperception. Mindfulness can bring me back to be in this situation. To remember that I can inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope in others. And that by doing that, I inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope in myself. I can remember that I am determined to make all efforts to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small.
I mean, that thing at the gas station, that seems like a little bitty thing, doesn't it? It's not. It's everything. It's everything in that moment. That's my dharma. How can I serve in this moment? How can I give back? How can I give? What can I give to this moment? Not what can I take? What do I expect? What do I need to do to protect myself? How can I serve in this moment? Okay, and so what I want to leave you with is a little bit of a snippet from this surrender experiment by Michael Singer. We looked at it at the beginning of the service, but I want to look at it again here. He says, surrender did give me clarity in one essential area. My personal preferences of like and dislike were not going to guide my life. I could see that the practice of surrender was actually done in two very distinct steps. First, you let go of the personal reactions of like and dislike that form inside your mind and heart. Just let them go. You know, that's a willingness. The willingness to let them go. Second, with the resultant sense of clarity, you simply look to see what is being asked of you by the situation unfolding in front of you. That's the recipe. All right. Okay, folks, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you guys today. It just leads me to clarity that I might, you know, I have all these things swirling around for me, but the opportunity to talk to you all about them really clarifies them in my mind. So I appreciate that opportunity. And what we will do now in this part of the service I'm going to play some music, and we'll take a moment to contemplate what we heard here today. We'll give you an opportunity in just a moment to share what came to you as we looked at these teachings today. Barb will post a link for donations if you'd like to do that during this period. We really want you to take a moment and contemplate, so that you can come back and share. All right, so let me turn this music on. Let's see, 1 second.
Raise my head and looked into your eyes.
and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home. We've all walked in, seeming to go nowhere. All came together in the end, to that runaway that takes us out of here. I wander alone and friendless, my heart filled with despair. Until I opened up my eyes and finally I saw you there. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into the light. And the love that's all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home. When you see your brother standing on the road, you think I'll just pass him by. Remember what he offers you. Open your heart and let him come inside. No one can leave here alone. In heaven, my brother is none other than myself, and no one will be left behind. But I thought you were another on a path apart from me. Then I raised my hand and looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home.
Okay. I trust that you had an opportunity to contemplate while we listened to the music. And I'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on this topic. Any inspiration that came to you this morning? We'd love to hear from you. Regina, please take the mic.
Yeah, well, I think that probably for me, what I noticed as this chapter was read from NTI 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, whenever anybody reads from NTI, a part of what happens to me as I listen, a part of what happens to me is that I remember my state of mind when this chapter was received. And then a part of what also happens is that I hear from the state of mind that I have now. It's almost like both happen simultaneously. And I couldn't help but notice how I see what this chapter says now so much differently than the way I saw what this chapter meant when I received it. And what I want to share today is what it meant to me today as you were sharing. And, you know, it talks about how everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. And when I first received this, I was still working on that I am bad thought, that unworthiness thought. And so I really felt that this was referring to that, that as long as I still had that belief that I could be bad, that I could be guilty, that I could be wrong, you know, all of that in me, that I would see that in the world as well. Other people can be guilty, other people can be bad, other people can be wrong, right? But today when it was read, I saw it completely differently, and I'm just going to have to use words, but it's very difficult to use words. As long as I have the belief that I am a person, I'll just put it that way, although it seems a little weak, as long as I have the belief that I am a person, I am going to see other people as people. And that includes having independent self-wills, independent values, independent choices. But as I see myself as God, but even I think what feels more appropriate right now is to say a part of God. As I see this Regina person, because Regina person is only a part of God, the totality is God. So as I see this person as a part of God that is completely inseparable from God, and everything that is happening for this person is absolutely perfect, then I look out and I see that too. I see only God in every movement. And I see every movement as perfect. And it's in that where, from this perspective as a Regina, there's an openness, there's an allowance, there's a trust, there's a patience, there's a watching, there's a curiosity. These are the things that arise. And notice I didn't say judgment, right? There's not a judgment. There's all those other things. There's this watching of what is and watching of what's unfolding and knowing I don't fully understand it. No one person could fully understand it. And so being curious about it and accepting of it and also feeling for my part, because again, I'm a part of that totality. So when it's my time to speak, my time to act, you know, when it's my cue to come on stage, I want to do that. But seeing it as a whole movement, the only way I can see it as a whole movement is if I see myself as a part of that whole movement. So as long as I see myself as a separate, independent person, I'm going to think other people are separate, independent persons, and I'm going to approve of them or not approve of them, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when I don't see myself that way, when I see myself as an integral part of a total movement that we call God, I will see everything else as that way too, and that changes everything. Thank you very much, Jacqueline, for letting me share. And I'm ready for you to move to Pueblo now, by the way. Just thought I'd say that. Bye.
Yeah, me too, Regina. We'll see how that unfolds. Listen, I thought it was really cool that you went right there, because you may not recall, but 1 Peter chapter 4 talks exactly about what you were just talking about. It says, Unreality is illusion, and illusion is everything that you experience now. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Every thought that comes from the mind of the person is misperception, because the belief that you are a person is the greatest misperception of all. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real. So I thought that was really cool that you went right there. Yay. Gloria, please take the mic.
All right. Good morning, and thank you so much. Thank you, Rebecca, for the reading, Reverend Jacqueline for the teaching this morning, and Regina for what you just shared as well. I just wanted to come on and say this whole one mind, one movement, oneness thing is still very mind-blowing for the personality, this personality of Gloria. You know, I've had very similar revelations over the past few weeks, exactly what Reverend Jacqueline was talking about, things coming up and, you know, looking me right in the face and saying, you're wrong about this. This is not the way that you're seeing it. And a couple of those things were major. I mean, major things that I thought I was right about, just right in my face. This is not, you know, and it took a readjustment for me to really see and to move from, which is why I wanted to come on, because the one thing that I was able to really get was part as well of what Reverend Jacqueline spoke about today, changing the perception, the misperception in this mind, that those things coming up and me being able to see very clearly that I was wrong about a perception was not a problem. It was an answer to a prayer. An answer to a prayer that we all would be highly served to be asking, which is one of the things that she talked about today as well, is how can I see this, what was the question? How can this misperception be revealed to me? My question has been very simply, where are the blocks to love's presence? That's something I can easily remember from the course, and something that comes to mind very quickly. And as I was in the process of getting really upset about seeing that I was wrong, that question came very silently into my ear. What are the blocks to love's presence? So at that point, the question is no longer what's going wrong here or why couldn't I see this differently before now. The question is more, thank you for revealing that to me. And how can I be with what I'm seeing in terms of seeing that I'm not right about this? How can I still be at peace in the midst of that has been the question that I've been asking. So the topic that I've been playing around with, which is also interesting, so highly interesting and beautiful to me, is letting go of littleness, which is exactly what Reverend Jacqueline was teaching about today. Is I'm looking at bringing my experiences in the same way that she's done to the table to share, to learn from, to receive more clarity about what I'm asking for. Because at the end of the day, what I truly want is freedom. What I truly want is to be free of this notion that I'm somehow not a part of the whole, or that this whole movement of oneness that's happening that Regina was just talking about, the totality of God, that we are a part of that totality. And the more that we can begin to see ourselves as one in this whole movement, the less we resist, the less we push back, the more things begin to be revealed to us that we can let go of littleness. So that's all I truly wanted to share. I'll let go of this mic because I'm truly passionate about that whole thing of, and just one last thing. As those things came in, I had a direct experience that light replaces that, all of that. When you can see clearly that, you know, this, I've been wrong about this, my perception, I've been mistaken. When you can see that very clearly, what happens is light just comes in. You know, it fills you. It replaces that stagnant energy of, you know, and that's what it's waiting to do. That's what I realized as well. This is all, it's all here. And it's waiting for us to get into a place where we can let go of our misperceptions, our mistaken beliefs, and receive the light. I'll let go of the mic. Love to you all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rev Gloria. It was what you had to say was right on point. Very, very powerful. A couple of things here in the reading that you touched on, these misperceptions, finding your misperceptions gives you a roadmap to the awareness that you want to be. It shows you the blocks to love's presence. And it's your willingness that opens that up. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, by looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with the desire only that misperceptions be healed. And so you and I are, and most of us here, I imagine, are having that same experience. And then it's absolutely what you said about the willingness and the light. Again, guilt is the witness to your misperception. By following the feeling of guilt, you stay within the web of misperception. If you think that you can be guilty, you know, that's just another belief that's not true. It's another misperception. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, you are led from the confusion of misperception into the clarity of light. And that, it seems hard to do because it seems like there's some pain in acknowledging that we've been wrong, that we've been doing this wrong. But if you can just sit with that, in the willingness to see differently, that lifts the misperception, that lifts the suffering, and leads you into the light. There's no question. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. You're talking about littleness, I just wanted to say that a great place to look at that is A Course in Miracles, Grandeur versus Grandiosity. Okay. I love you guys. Rebecca, thank you so much for reading this morning. I really appreciate your reading. Jay, please take the mic.
Oh, thanks, Jacqueline. That was good to hear your voice this morning. The sweet words of truth. Yeah, there was an interesting correlation in 1500 Ways to Escape the Human Jungle by Vernon Howard. It's number 481. It is both relaxing and empowering to realize you need only continue with the inner adventure in spite of all difficulties. And I just thought that fits so well with what you were sharing about that willingness just now. And you will be shown the truth, and also what Regina shared about, hey, let's let go of the core idea that I'm a separate personality. You know, that's it. And It's just so neat because I've been practicing a lot of the speech stuff that you talked about in the last week. And, you know, there's that old phrase, well, treat everybody as if they're having a bad day kind of thing. Like, just be kind, you know, always. And I was, I've been practicing that enough to where it's almost becoming a habit as a default way of being for me. And it's kind of neat when you choose not to go down the track of a thought that's coming in, and it actually helps to that willingness. What I find is when you you don't speak it, you practice right speech, it's easier to go to the willingness before you do the wrong speech. If you do the wrong speech, it's a little more difficult to get over the willingness, because then you got the guilt coming in and all these other things, and you can let go of that, but it's harder work, is what I'm saying, versus if you just go for the right speech and then go to the willingness, it's easier to transition and be led to that and let go of the separate personality thought. But it's ever important to stay alert throughout the day, and that's just a lot of key points, and it was good to hear you touching on those, and good to hear your voice, Jackie. Love you, and love everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Jay, for sharing. It's good to hear your voice as well. Yeah, Jim says, I ask, how would kindness respond? You know, it's very sweet. We are, or have been, creatures of habit. That's why that letting go of the guilt thing is such an important piece of this. And so I appreciate you bringing it up, Jay. Our habit is to feel guilty when we find those misperceptions. So, you know, that needs to be uppermost in our minds as well. And again, that takes us back to what we looked at a moment ago. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness, with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. So if you can sit in the pain of having been wrong, if you can sit in the pain of misperceiving, you know, of the suffering that you've caused yourself, if you can sit that and go, I only know I want my misperceptions to be healed, then those periods will become less and less, those periods of guilt. I mean, that becomes, like Jay said, it becomes, the new habit is not to feel guilty. The new habit is to go directly into, please correct this misperception without the added step of the guilt. But, you know, we all got to start somewhere, right? that really does highlight the importance of that part of the process. Not only do you have to let go of the misperception, you have to let go of the guilt that you might feel about having the misperception in the first place. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, folks. Lynn, I don't know about the distortions. I haven't really heard any. I heard some clunking around when a couple people took the mic or were letting go of the mic. But as far as distortions, I don't know. It must be something in your area. Okay, gang, I'm going to let this mic go. I'm going to turn it over for the fellowship hour. I love you all dearly. I am so grateful to be a part of what we're doing here with Awakening Together. I see Ken's got his hand up. I'm letting go of the mic.
Thank you, Rev. Jacqueline. We're handling the fellowship hour for